This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Today, I am delighted to have Jen with me from Qtopia, who is the Interim Director and Healthcare Lead there. Qtopia is an extraordinary organisation that I've had something to do with over my years as a professional and as a parent. And their mahi is all around supporting tamariki and rangatahi and whānau with all things that are rainbow.
Kia ora.
Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space.
And it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. So lovely to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're really welcome. I guess, firstly, I'd like you to introduce Qtopia the way that you do it, which will be way better than me, and so and give everyone an idea about the sorts of support that you offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So Qtopia, we're a social change and social support service for the whole rainbow community, based here in Ōtautahi Christchurch, but working all over the South Island and some national work now as well. There are two big areas of focus for us as an organisation, and that kind of social support is a really big part of that. So we run like social support groups throughout the year, including a group specifically for whānau of rainbow people, rainbow families of all ages, as well as a peer support service for trans and gender diverse folks of all ages and individual pieces of support and advocacy. And then health and education is our other big area of focus. So we do a lot of work across the healthcare sector to make sure that our rainbow people are able to access really great and affirming and competent care kind of no matter where they live. And that's part of our national work. So we've...
That's huge, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, it's really big. Yeah, we've just started a project to run training for Aotearoa's primary care workforce around the country, so GPs and nurses everywhere.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on here is to talk specifically to parents of rainbow kids. And I was really interested as to, you know, what your best advice would be to those mums, dads, caregivers who, you know, want to make sure that they get this right, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I think parents and families kind of have the number one role to play, and we see that in the people that we work with, and we see that in the research that we're, you know, starting to see from around the world, is that that supportive home environment and supportive family is kind of the number one protective factor. You know, we know that our rainbow young people have some pretty poor outcomes when it comes to, you know, health and well-being. But the one piece of research that I always almost cite when I meet parents for the first time, because everyone's just really worried for their well-being of their kids, no matter what age they are, and really worried about doing the right thing. And there's an amazing paper from the States from around 2018 or so that showed that young people, gender diverse young people in particular, who are supported by their family and kind of who they are, their rates of depression and anxiety drop back to being on par with the general population. So kind of all you have to do is just be there for them and listen to them and walk alongside them. And that's kind of the number one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? All we have to do as parents, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
And be supporting, nurturing, loving, relationship-focused parents.
Absolutely. Yeah, all the stuff you're doing already, just in a slightly new sphere with some new language and some learning to do along the way, which can be hard, especially for parents of teens who aren't always the most accommodating of their parents. Lots of perfection expected immediately.
Yes, quite. But the other thing is, too, is that that's kind of a beautiful thing about it, is being guided by your young person,
Absolutely.
And listening to them as well.
Right. Just remembering that all of us are the kind of experts in our own experiences. You know, we're all the experts in who we are, and it's the same for our kids. And,
good point.
Being there to listen to them and affirm them and walk alongside them in that journey, no matter where that takes them.
Do we need to go through rainbow community as a definition? I'm wondering. Why am I wondering that? Because it's one of the questions that comes up for me with parents. Often they get stuck on particular words around this and their meanings around this. And, and I think that's really important that that we know what these words mean when our young people are talking about them.
Yeah.
And so, and so whether we're not coming to this completely naive or overly curious as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the number one thing is that it's totally okay to ask, right?
Yeah,
because even if two people use the same words to describe themselves and it's a term you're familiar with, people have really different experiences. So being able to say something like, thanks so much for sharing that with me. I'm really happy that you feel comfortable sharing. Tell me a bit more about what that means for you. Mm. Let them share in as much detail as they, feel comfortable doing, relevant to your relationship and, helps you know your child, rather than understanding a word and kind of taking some assumptions from there. But you're totally right. It's helpful to have a good understanding of some of the language. So when we're talking about rainbow communities, we're talking about diversity in terms of sexuality and gender. Mm-hmm. So who we are and who we're attracted to. So in terms of sexuality, you have things like gay and lesbian, generally meaning same sex attracted, bisexuality, so attraction to multiple genders, asexuality we're seeing more and more of as well, so people who don't experience sexual attraction in the same way that a lot of us do. People who are ace or asexual might still have relationships and they might still have sex, but their attraction isn't the key driver in their relationships.
Yep.
And then on the gender side of things, you've got terms like transgender, which kind of just means anyone whose gender is different from the sex they're assigned at birth, as well as things like non-binary, so someone who doesn't strictly feel like they align with man or woman or masculine or feminine. And there's lots of different identities under those umbrellas, but there's such an individual experience that it's always worth asking the person in front of you kind of what that means for them.
Yeah, that's a really good point, isn't it? And also, asking the person in front of you for pronouns, for example, rather than just assuming. Anything else in regard to tips in order that, we don't walk into awkward situations, and when we do, we feel okay to apologise?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to make mistakes.
Mm.
It's a part of how we learn.
Yeah.
As much as we wish we could kind of snap our fingers and be perfect overnight, it's just not going to happen. So when we do make mistakes, it is important to apologise, but they don't have to be big moments. And in fact, I think sometimes those big moments can kind of make things worse or more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So when we do slip up, golden three-step process is just apologise and correct yourself and move on. Simple as that. Like, oh, so sorry, Jen, and then continue on with the conversation nice and smooth. And, people really appreciate that correction being made, but also it not being a big deal.
Yeah, quite.
I think another thing to be aware of is that even if our young people aren't part of the rainbow community, there's a good chance they have friends who are. When we know that among younger people, that rate tends to be a bit higher. We think it's about 10% of the general population, but we've seen, studies overseas that put the rate of, rainbow community amongst that Gen Z population is almost up to 50%. So there's a good chance that our young people will know rainbow people in their lives. So even if our kids aren't part of that community, there's a good chance that some of their friends are, which I think is just another reason why it's important for all parents to be aware of a lot of this stuff too.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Because if we're supporting our children, we're also supporting their friends.
Absolutely. Yep. And so often, our friends' parents can play a really big supportive role in our lives as well.
That's true. 50%.
Yep.
That's about acceptance, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a graph that I love to show, which is about the rate of left-handedness in the population.
Yeah.
And for a very long time, it was very low and very flat. and then we stopped punishing left-handedness, and there was this big spike, and then it levelled out again at the natural rate of left-handedness in the population. And I think that's what we're seeing with the rainbow community at the moment, is that we have so much more visibility and acceptance, and you know, in many countries we aren't punishing it anymore, so we're seeing that big spike.
That makes real sense, isn't it? Also, in terms of that and continuing with an acceptance, is I just wanted to talk briefly about misinformation, disinformation we're seeing across social media particularly. Anything here we need to be aware of?
Yeah, there's a lot of it out there, and unfortunately it's coming from some really politically motivated bad actors, and comes from a lot of those same spaces that a lot of the anti-vaccine misinformation came from. So it's just really important to be really aware of where you're getting your information, and I'd be looking to health professionals, and be looking to you know, Rainbow Community organisation websites for really well-researched resources that, are based in truth and based in those values of really trying to look after our young people and care for them.
And also, I think, checking out that information with organisations such as yourself, if there's any concern.
If anyone has any questions or any concerns or queries, we're always happy to answer those questions.
Yeah, I love that. One of the things I'm noticing too that I'm loving is parents changing the way that they were kind of, they expect sexuality to work out. Like from their, you know, from, you know, you see, you used to, well, you probably still do see our parents just assuming that that little girl hanging out with that little boy in the playground, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, that's assumed. And I'm seeing a change in that we're not doing that any longer. So positive steps?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, it's such a it's a concept that we often call heteronormativity. Kind of ingrained assumption everywhere that everyone in the world is going to turn out heterosexual, and we know that it can put so much pressure on our young people when the expectation is in place. Then that's this expectation they almost have to overcome when they do come out. So not making those assumptions, and we see similar things starting to happen now for parents around gender as well. As there's lots more freedom in terms of, you know, not wardrobes don't have to be pink and blue now, right? Small things like this, and all of these little changes, even though they seem really small, just make it so much easier for our kids to share about who they are when they come to those realizations later in life, because we've never made those expectations of them.
Yeah, quite. With my own children, not that I've got this right in any way, shape or form, I've always said to them, you know, they've talked to me about, you know, people that they think that they're going to fall in love with when they're children. And I always just say to them, you know, introduce me to the person that you love. I can't wait to meet them. Yeah.
Perfect. Absolutely.
Not assuming who that's going to be. And actually, in my experience with my 19-year-old, it's always just been a delight anyway. So cool. And then we were also going to talk about what we can expect in terms of parenting a child or rangatahi who has, you know, identified as a gender that's different to what we expected, or sexuality to what we expected, and how we can come to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like lots of us have a pretty good understanding of some of the negatives. I won't spend too much time on that. Those are the stories that have kind of always been told, is that we know that, unfortunately, our rainbow young people can experience some heightened rates of depression and anxiety and things like that. But we're seeing much more these days that that's not a given, right? And it's been a real joy for me as a trans person myself to get to work with so many young rainbow people who are so supported by their families and their friends and living really rich and full and happy lives. So it is important to be mindful that you know, our community can face some additional mental health challenges. But we've also started to see some really amazing research here in Aotearoa from our Rainbow Young People just this week I was at a conference sharing some of these findings, and it found that I think about 95 to 99% of rainbow young people in New Zealand would stand up for someone around them, even if they felt it was unpopular or uncomfortable to do. You know, our young people are so socially conscious and so aware of these things like justice and what being a good member of your community means, and of standing up for the people around each other. And it's really beautiful to see these strengths coming through so clearly.
Yeah, that's really interesting as too. And it's almost like as parents we can join them in that too.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
and celebrate their, you know, kindness and, you know, appreciation of diversity.
Yeah, parenting is such a learning process, right? It really goes both ways. You know, our kids learn from us, but we can also learn from them, and I feel like they have so much to share.
Agreed, totally agreed on that. And if we are parents that need some time to adjust to what our young person is acknowledging about themselves, what would be your kind of, advice in that?
I think it's so important to acknowledge that as parents we're on journeys as well, right? You're kind of on your own journey. And, you know, alongside your young person, kind of in parallel, we know that so many parents of young trans kids, for example, can go through this really complex process of, grief, but also joy, because you are kind of losing a lot of the expectations that you've had for your young person and this vision of what their life might look like. And again, you know, so many of the stories that we've seen around rainbow communities have been really tragic ones. So that's really prevalent in people's minds. But you're also seeing your kids really thrive in that identity, which is beautiful, but really complex. So acknowledging that you have to have your own space to go on that journey as well and to process those feelings. It's always worth reaching out to organisations like Qtopia. Quite often what I do is sit down with parents whose kids have just come out to be the person who can receive all of their questions and just everything they need to let out and to have that shared. And we have a families group that's a good opportunity to meet other rainbow families and parents of rainbow young people who have gone through similar experiences to be able to have these conversations. And there's some really great online networks for similar things as well. And for parents of trans kids in particular, there's this amazing resource called Storm Clouds and Rainbows, which I'll send you a link so you can include, and is written by parents of trans children in Aotearoa for parents of trans kids in Aotearoa, and really covers that complexity of that journey in a really nice, gentle way from that kind of lived experience perspective as well.
Oh, that's so good, eh? And I like too what you're saying about that, you know, parents can speak to other parents about that, because you've got to, because there's some stuff in there that actually you hold as a parent that, you know, you can't bring to your young person, which is true for anything, you know.
Yeah.
And it's nice that there's spaces and places and people that you can talk to where it's safe and you get to be parents together in it. Yeah,
absolutely. And there are some things that only other parents will understand, you know, and being able to talk to someone who's had those similar experiences can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, I get it. I know for me, and I have permission to share this with my daughter who is androgynous in her looks. And one of the things that's occurred for her and for me as a parent, that I kind of, you know, I feel sad for her, and I know that that's kind of an adult thing. That's because I'm a mum and I care and love her deeply, because she often gets mistaken for being male. And recently at the airport, she set off the alarms and they were going to pat her down, and there was an awkward conversation between the security people whether she needed to be patted down by a male or female, and they came up and asked her that, and in an awkward and odd way. And for me, I just go, I wish it wasn't. I just don't want things to be hard for her, you know. I don't know. Am I just being selfishly odd? I don't know.
No, not at all. I think that's maybe the most common and unifying perspective that I hear from parents all the time is we just want our kids to have a nice, easy, happy life. Yeah. You know, that's so understandable. And things are getting better really quickly. You know, I have to think back to when I was in high school, you know, 15 years ago, to the kids that I work with now. It's a completely unrecognizable experience. Things have changed so fast. In the last 5 years in particular, the amount of changes we've seen institutions like schools and workplaces make to be more accommodating of our rainbow people is, really beautiful.
Yeah, it is really beautiful. And so, and you see this in almost every youth culture now as well. You know, I was thinking about the halls that my daughter went into and how much media there was around that was, you know, accepting and you know, and celebrating, actually, not just accepting, which I thought was incredible.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the most beautiful and important shifts in the last 10 years, but 5 years in particular, is that we have so much media now that is really celebratory and shows these happy rainbow lives, right? And I think that's so healing for us, but also for our families. You know, so often when I meet with parents for that first time, I'll often kind of prescribe them to go watch Heartstopper on Netflix because it's the most joyous, real representation of rainbow teenagers that I've ever seen, and it is really beautiful.
Yeah. It's such a pleasure to talk to you about this, and you know, and for me being, you know, cisgender, you know, I come to this kind of awkwardly and carefully for good reason. I would hate to offend anyone in this as well. But you, what I love about you is that you just have a warmth about you that means that I feel absolutely okay talking to you about, you know, whatever's going on for me. And I just want, you know, whānau to know that, you know, you're behind this and you're pretty incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's really important to me. It's really important that people feel safe to be able to have these conversations and ask these questions because everyone wants the best for their young people, so we're here to help.
Love that.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Kate and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
So we always end with top tips, which I'm going to make you do, Jen, because you're so good at this. And it really makes sense to come from you.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so my top three for parents and families. Number one, find some other parents, find some community. You know, come to Qtropia's family groups or there's some really great Facebook groups we can point you towards. Just reach out. It's so valuable to talk to other parents with those similar experiences. Second, go find, watch some really beautiful, affirming, celebratory media with rainbow young people in it. Heartstopper on Netflix is one of my top recommendations, but there's lots out there. Watch them with your kids. Heartstopper is appropriate, I reckon, for 10 and above with parental guidance. And then the third is just be there, you know, just by being there, you are doing the number one top thing that you could ever do for your young person. There's so much pressure on us to get it right all the time or know exactly what to do, but don't be too hard on yourself, you know, just being there for your kid and walking alongside them, you're doing the most important thing already.
Love that. It's been a real pleasure having you here with me today. Thank you very much. If you want to find out more about Qtopia and all the incredible mahi that they do, head to connect at qtopia.org.nz. And Jen has just let me know too that the final whānau group for the year is on Sunday the 3rd of December. So if you want to join and connect with whānau similarly to you, then you go ahead and do that. And as for us, if you're intrigued and want to hear more about what we talk about at Real Parents, head to Plains FM 96.9, plug in Being Real Parents, and you'll find at least 40 episodes now, which is an incredible thing and something that we're very proud of. Enjoy.
Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal.
It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing.
Bye!